I know most all, if not everyone, has enjoyed games like Simon Says or Follow the Leader. Those are good games to learn how to follow. And it's good to follow someone who is leading. I went to the Ohio State game yesterday. OH! Go Bucks! Had a great time. Of all people, I was able to go with Ron Poling, and we just had a blast. I mean, the game wasn't until 3:30. We left at 9:30 in the morning. I mean, it was a day, and the joy of it was following Ron. You know, I mean, he's been there, he's done this, and I've been there a couple times, but following Ron was a delight. It was a pleasure. I mean, he knew the ropes, he knew where to go, he knew what to do, and I had no agenda other than follow Ron, and we got it all in. I mean, if you can believe that, we got it all in, and we had a wonderful time together, and it should be a delight to follow someone. We're talking about following Jesus. We're talking about being disciples of Jesus. And as we look at this morning, I want you to be encouraged to think of it as a matter of delight. Now, I'm telling you, if I had a different agenda than what Ron had yesterday, there would have been contention, right? Like, okay, hey, let's go over here. What do you think about this? And he was gracious. He wasn't saying, come on, we're going to do this whether you like it or not. He was gracious. Hey, let's go over here. What do you think? You know, yeah, hey, I'm along for the ride. Now, if I had a different agenda, it would have been, there may have been contention, right? No, I don't want to do that. I want to go over. I just followed the leader. And it was a delight. That's what it ought to be in following Jesus. I don't have another agenda. I want to follow Jesus. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. And when we do that, there's a delight. I was a wilderness camp director for a camp in Indiana for several years. And two of the years, we hiked a part of the Appalachian Trail in the Shenandoah National Forest, National Park. And I instructed the teens, I said, you need to follow my instructions because it literally could cost you your life. At that time, Shenandoah National Park had the largest concentration of black bears in America, all right? And there were specific instructions that you needed to follow in order to take care of your snack so that you didn't become a snack, right? And it would have been difficult to call one of their parents and say, you know, Johnny, he didn't follow instructions concerning the snack, and he became a snack. And it would have been a tough call to make. The teens that I had the most trouble with were the teens that didn't want to follow instructions. I tell you, most of the packs, we would weigh them. They weighed about 35 pounds. And if you ever hike or have ever hiked, you know there's hills after hills after hills, and some of it's pretty tough hiking. And so, hey guys, you know, keep your packs light. You don't want to carry a whole bunch of stuff. One kid insisted on taking all the stuff that he brought to the base camp. His pack weighed 75 pounds. And said, listen, you really got to leave some of this behind. No, I got to have this. I'm going to take this. And he didn't like me very much. He didn't like my instruction. And consequently, he suffered along the way. And it made it difficult for him and for some of the other guys to reach the destination. When you follow a leader who knows where they're going and knows what they're doing, it makes for a much more pleasant trip, and you end up at the right destination in good order. talking again about following Jesus. We're talking about discipleship. That's what discipleship is. Following Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus. And then we want to help others to be faithful followers of Jesus. We've been talking about that for, that's our theme for this year. Our take-home thought today is you must follow Jesus on his terms. All right? You follow Jesus on his terms. When you follow Jesus on his terms, it makes for a much more delightful trip. Right? If you want, insist on keeping on doing your own thing in your own way, you're going to have difficulty. You're going to resent your relationship with God. I hope that's not the case. But there are times when we stray, when we insist on doing our own things, and we suffer consequences, and our walk with Jesus doesn't go quite the way we'd like it to go. Follow Jesus on his terms. The question is, what are his terms? Well, we've been discussing many, and some of these will sound familiar, but review is good. Take your Bibles, if you're not already there, turn to Luke chapter 9. We're looking at verses 18 down through 26 this morning. Luke 9, 18 through 26, looking at passages that talk about following Jesus, being a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Luke 9, 18. Now it happened that as he, Jesus, was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist. But others say Elijah, and others that one of the prophets of old has risen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." It's interesting that Jesus, in verse 18, was praying alone, and yet then it says his disciples were with him. What's going on there? Some might say, oh, there's a contradiction. No, he may have been an eye shot or ear shot. He may have been over here praying, and on the other side of the path or something, the disciples were gathered around the fire or something. And he, hey guys, got a question for you. Who do people say that I am? So it's not a contradiction here. He's just asking. And in fact, there were crowds that followed him. They may have been out there as well. You know, they want to be when the sun comes up or whenever it was. I don't know what time of day it was at this time. But we'll get to that in just a moment. But he asks this question, who do the crowds say that I am? What are you hearing about me? Of course, Jesus knew the answer to the questions, but he was wanting to gain the disciples' perspective, ultimately asking, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God. You are the Messiah. You're the Savior that God has sent to save us from our sins." That's a proclamation, a profession of faith. Here for Peter. In Matthew, we hear that this proclamation is upon which Christ builds his church. In Matthew, he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," a reiteration of that. Look at verse 21 and 22. He strictly charged them and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." And Jesus indicates the fact that he would die as a result of being rejected. Keep that thought in mind. And of course, he would be raised again. That's the gospel. He was really laying out the gospel for them. And then he says to them all, verse 23. Okay, he says to all of them, whether it's disciples and maybe others out listening, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Forever who would save his life and lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Verse 23, he points out that the condition here is non-negotiable. He wasn't asking them to do anything that he wasn't willing to do and, in fact, didn't do. Right? He went to the cross. He literally gave his life on the cross for those to whom he was ministering and, in fact, for everyone. And he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I want to look at his conditions here. What's Jesus saying? These are some matters to consider. As a result of surrendering to Jesus, as a result of your salvation. We talked about counting the cost a few weeks ago. Pastor Nate did a phenomenal job of ministering what it means to count the cost. And the fact of the matter is the cost has already been counted. It will cost you everything. All right? It'll cost you anything. This is a bit of reiteration of that. The thing for which we're thankful is the cross. The cost was paid on the cross through Jesus Christ. And we live in light of under the light of the cross, right? Because of the cross. But here are some matters to consider. The first one is self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. Verse 23. He said to them all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Now, the disciples and any others who were listening were probably like, whoa, wait. Jesus had not suffered on the cross yet. He knew where he was heading. But it was like the cross was despised. It was an instrument of death. And so you, what do you mean, Jesus, to take up a cross? Because cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree and dies in that fashion. They're cursed. In essence, Jesus was saying, if you're considering following me, even if you are willing to follow me, here's the deal. You can't get caught up in yourself doing things your own way. You need to be willing to sacrifice yourself every day. You need to put yourself on the altar. It means to go, literally means to go back to the place of death. To take up your cross means to go back to the place of death. In other words, when you're living your life as a believer who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when you get up and as you go through your day, you remember the cross. You remember that when you came to Christ, when you came to Jesus, that you surrendered your life to him. You live in light of the gospel. Your life should have gospel implication every day at every turn. I am living my life because of Jesus and what he's done for me. And I died with him. I died to self. And that's going to the cross. That's taking up the cross in order to follow Jesus. It's like being willing to, the farmer, you've heard probably the story about the farmer going to the farm animals and says, hey, I want to have ham and bacon for breakfast. And the chicken, the hen just cackles with delight. Oh, this is great, it's wonderful. And the hog is like, and the chicken's like, what in the world's wrong with you? And he says, well, for you, it's just a donation. For me, it's a sacrifice. Right? The point there is, are you willing to sacrifice? Here are some implications. If you're going to take up the cross, you're going to be disposed to disgrace. Remember, the cross is an instrument of suffering and death. One's cross, when you take up the cross, it's not a matter of punishment or self-deprecating or beating yourself up like, oh, I'm nothing, woe is me, you know, I got my cross to bear, and everybody's got their cross to bear. No, that's not what it's talking about here. What it means is you're willing to stand for truth regardless as to what it might cost, regardless to the sacrifices that are involved. Take up your cross daily to remember that you died to self. Another implication is it's daring to be different. You're daring to be different. It's being willing to be called out for not being woke. You know, in our culture, the pressure is on us in the workplace. Some of you face that. You know, you have to call people by their proper pronouns and you know what they want, and you have all of this pressing in upon you. And if you don't, it may cost you consequences. It may even cost you your job. At least ridicule. I can't believe you won't do this. It's daring to be different. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, Second Timothy 3:12. You can look it up and check me out. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I'll tell you what, I don't know what that does for you, but for me, it's like, if I'm living for Jesus, I will be persecuted, it makes me say, am I living as faithfully for Jesus as I ought to live? And when we think of persecution in our culture, we don't think a whole lot about it. Someone may call us a name. Someone may shun us or hold us at arm's length. But there are cultures in the world where take a stand for Jesus means it could cost you your life, if not at least relationships. Some kind of persecution. Luke 14:27. Jesus says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Again, being willing to take a stand. Dare to be different. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you do not bow to this idol, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they refused to bow to the idol because they stood for the living God. And God spared them through the fire. Dared to be different. Here's another implication. It's done daily. To be consistently, constantly reminded of the gospel. The reason for which you and I are here now. Because of the gospel and for the gospel. We want to live our lives in light of what Jesus did for us, and we want everybody else to know about it. Go and make disciples. to tell others about that. I'm living for Jesus because of what he did for me on the cross. I'm not gonna kick against that. I'm willing to follow and not do things my own way. So the final implication here is delighting in the deed. You don't begrudge it. You delight in it. Again, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I was along for the ride yesterday. Thank you, Ron. He led me well. We had a wonderful time. Hey, I'm with you. And not my own agenda. Nobody. I'm just going to follow. When you do that, it's wonderful. And when you follow Jesus, you're going to run into problems. You're going to run into challenges when you say, no, I want to do my own thing. I want to go back to what I used to do and the way I used to do it. I don't want to follow you right now. I'm gonna, on the Appalachian Trail with the kids, there were side trails. And as a group, we took them sometimes. But if one of the teens said, hey, this one looks interesting, I want to go out here, and either even told us or just did it on their own, they could run into trouble. We could lose them, didn't know where they are, right? And that's when you run into problems and challenges. But rather, delight in the deed. The trials, the difficulties, they are short in light of eternity. There are difficulties, there are challenges in this life that come our way, even while we are following. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, so we do not lose heart. You have the challenges, you have the difficulties of this life, but don't lose heart. It says, though outwardly we waste away, yet inwardly we're renewed day by day. Now, some of you can relate to this more than others. Some of you younger folks might not be able to relate to this. But the older I get, the more aches and pains I have, right? Some of you are even saying to Dale, listen, you don't know the half of it. I live in chronic pain. My life is, and it's just horrendously difficult. That might be what some here would say. Pastor Dale, you don't know the half of it. I'm in constant pain. I have constant difficulties. And he says, though outwardly we're waste away, it's a reminder when we have these difficulties and these challenges in our lives, he says, yet inwardly, on the other hand, outwardly waste away. On the other hand, inwardly, listen, we're renewed day by day. How does that happen? Well, it's putting things into perspective. It's saying, as the passage goes on to say, this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so when you're going through the challenges and difficulties of life, whether it's physical, it's emotional, if it's relational, financial, whatever it is, you'd say, you know what, this is just temporary, right? In light of eternity, This is just temporary. And it's preparing for me an eternal weight of glory. How I handle this now is going to have an impact on the glory to come. So I delight in the deed. I delight in going through the cross bearing that I might have, whatever that may be. And in bearing that cross, I'm doing it for the honor and glory of God. Because this is just temporary. In light of eternity. I hope that helps you to delight in the deed, even though it may be difficult. You know, you think about it, the worst thing that can happen to you is die. For to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Right? For the believer, it's like, okay, so I die. But if I die, I'm going to be in eternity with him. You know, and how awesome is that? Now, it doesn't mean we go around looking to die, for death. You know, can't wait. But it's keeping things in perspective, right? We're going to keep our lives and the difficulties, the challenges of this life in perspective. In other words, in light of the gospel. No doubt, when Jesus said to all, verse 23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Many went away and left him. I'm not signing up for that. That's too much sacrifice that's involved. But Jesus was very clear as to what it was going to take to follow him. And that leads to the next consideration, and that's found in verses 24 and 25, and that's self-denial. These are closely related. But Jesus had already stated that if you were considering following Jesus, you must deny yourself, verse 23. And then he elaborates in verse 24, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. The idea is a readiness and a willingness to give up one's personal desires, even one's own life, if necessary, in order to gain real life, eternal life. To hold on to the things of this world and this life is to set yourself up for loss. But be willing to give up the things of this life, if or when necessary, in order to live and take a stand for Jesus. I think of Matthew 6, 19 and 21. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break in and steal. I think, once again, I couldn't help as I was pondering that passage, that in the path and wake of Hurricane Helene, there are people who lost everything, right? They lost everything. My heart goes out for those who put all their stock in everything that they had as opposed to eternity. Imagine the devastation of the individual who was living for this life, and who would think that you would have a hurricane in Western North Carolina, right? And because if we put our stock in everything of this earth, where moth and rust can destroy it and thieves can break through or steal, you can lose it all. But rather, he goes on to say, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he's just encouraging us to say, you know what? I want to put my stock in eternity so that if or when I lose everything of this life, and guess what? Someday you will lose everything in this life because you're going to die just like I will die, right? But if you put stock in everything here and live for the everything in the here and now, Jesus says right here, you're going to lose it. But to live for eternity is what counts most. This involves submission to his authority. Submission to his authority. Again, when you follow someone, you're willing to give up the right to do things your own way. It goes back to last week's message. He who hears these words of mine, Jesus says, and does them is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. He dug down deep to put his pillars on the bedrock. and build upon the rock. It's submitting to his words, submitting to his ways. You're submitting to the way of another. But to save one's life, say, I got to hold on to these things and the things that I cherish and the things that I want in this life. My friend, you're going to lose it. Your priorities are all out of whack. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. God is going to take care of all of these things. So you submit to his authority. Submitting to the way of another. It also involves sacrifice. We've talked about this. To be willing without hesitation to make sacrifice. I don't know how many of you have watched the movie. It's considered an old movie now, Captain America. All right, remember Captain America movie? And you have the guys, you know, being considered for Captain America, and they're testing these guys, they're army guys, and the CO, who's Tommy Lee Jones, he's got his eye on this buff soldier. And he says, he wants that guy to be Captain America. He's the guy that wants to get the special powers. But there's another guy that says he wants to join, and he's just a skinny little, you know, nothing, according to Tommy Lee Jones. And the professor, he wants the skinny little guy, and Tommy Lee Jones wants the buff guy. And so Tommy Lee Jones is like, okay, we'll show you what it really means. He pulls out a hand grenade, pulls the pin, and throws it among the soldiers. Watch what happens here.
Look at that. He's making me cry.
I am looking for qualities beyond the physical.
Do you know how long it took to set up this project? All the groveling I had to do in front of Senator What's-His-Name's committees?
Grant, yes, I know. I am well aware of your efforts.
Then throw me a bone. Hodge passed every test we gave him. He's big, he's fast, he obeys orders, he's a soldier.
He's a bully.
You don't win wars with niceness, Doctor. You win wars with guts.
Get away! Get back!
The dummy grenade. All clear. Back in formation.
Is this a test?
He's still skinny.
Self-sacrifice without hesitation. that you know, you think about that. What might Jesus be asking you to do? To sacrifice. And to do so without hesitation. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Matthew 9:9 says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to me, follow me. And he rose and followed him. Sacrifice. Turning away from the things of this life to follow Jesus without hesitation. That's what Jesus wants in us. It may be difficult in our culture. Again, we have so many things. We have so much. Some, yes, more than others. But when we talk about self-sacrifice, ask yourself the question, what am I willing to sacrifice? What do I need to sacrifice in order to follow Jesus? I don't know what that may mean for you. It may mean finances. It's like the rich young ruler. You know, Jesus told him, go and sell everything you have. Why did Jesus... Selling everything you have is not a condition for salvation. And yet in this man's life, Jesus said, sell everything you have and then follow me. Why? Because that man's trust and faith was in his possessions and in his treasures. So it may be finances. It may be relationships. There may be a relationship that's hindering you from continuing to be faithful as God would have you to be faithful. Maybe a hobby. You like your hobbies? I like my hobbies. But are they keeping you from serving Jesus the way you ought to serve? Could be habits. Something that's keeping you. You enjoy it. Something that's keeping you from serving the way God would have you serve, to sacrifice. Man, I'll tell you, I don't know. It's difficult for us because if we want something or need something, there it is, discover, right? And we can just pretty much get anything we want by pulling out the card. But what are we willing to sacrifice? I encourage you to wrestle with that a little bit. And the implications of that. Another self-denial would be service. Looking upon the needs for others. Are you willing to serve? The sacrifice of some of these things may be that which hinders your service. So think about it in that way. What is it that keeps me from serving others? Here's an opportunity for me to serve. Through the FBC and the ministry here, we have Trunk or Treat coming up. How might you be able to serve? Listen, Trunk or Treat is a community outreach through which everybody can get involved in some way or another. I got, I think it's a text from a church, and I don't know why I get it, a text from a church in Columbus about their Trunk or Treat. And they're like, let's pack the parking lot with trunks that are decorated for the glory of God. Why? Because we want to reach our community for Jesus. You know, it's not just kids that come to Trunk or Treat. The parents are coming along and they're taking pictures and they're talking. And if you, maybe you're busy that day, and I understand. I'm not trying to guilt you into involvement. I'm just using this as an example, a way you can serve. Pack the parking lot full of cars that are decorated. Nikki has a wonderful theme. What's it called? Creation kind of theme here. And, you know, decorate your car and just all kinds of treats that these kids can have in common. But just if you don't have opportunity to do that, pray. Everybody can pray. But serve. Maybe you just come and you just walk around and you talk and you get to know people and you engage them in conversation. Maybe you're a greeter as they come through the entrance of the museum, or maybe you're the bouncer for the bouncy house or whatever it is. Why are we doing that? It's because it's an opportunity to show Jesus. And it's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take, but it's an opportunity to serve. So you can serve through the ministry of FBC, but then serve out in the community. We have some folks that are involved in other community ministries, Right to Life and Partners in Hope and other things like that. Get involved as an opportunity. Maybe you're just serving a neighbor. But again, that's all part of this self-denial. It's not all about us. It's about serving Him. And then finally, another of Jesus' conditions is self-surrender. Again, all these are very closely associated, but look at verse 26. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. There's no shame in following Jesus. No need to be ashamed. Doing what Jesus desires regardless of the cost. Following him. Submitting to His way, to His will. And when you do that, I've already mentioned, things go smoothly. Paul, God, the Lord Jesus, said to Paul, when he was Saul, he said, "Saul, why are you kicking against the pricks?" God was trying to open his eyes and prodding him along, and he kicked against the pricks. You keep kicking against the pricks, you're gonna be at opposition with God. So you do what Jesus desires of you, regardless to the cost. Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you shall find rest for your soul." But Proverbs 13:15 says, "The way of the transgressor is hard. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Following Jesus anticipates standing in his presence. Isn't that awesome? You follow faithfully because one day you're going to stand in his presence. And I trust your desire that when you do that is to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Verse 26 there indicates that day will come. But as we look at that, all is done on his behalf, by his power and his glory. We can't do this in our own strength. We continually depend upon him. He blazed the trail. He's the one who says, here's what it means to sacrifice. He left his throne in heaven. He gave up everything, laid aside himself, became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. He's not asking us to do anything more than what he was willing to do. As we think about that and evaluate that in our own hearts, let's think about our communion. As we come together and we celebrate what Jesus did for us, but may it be a reminder. This do in remembrance of me, right? It's a reminder of what he did. And then we follow his example. And then we rejoice in what was accomplished on our behalf. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you humbled by your grace, humbled by these truths which we have reviewed once again here today. And we recognize that in and of ourselves, we can't do this. But help us to hold loosely to the things of this earth. We sang earlier, "I surrender all." May those words resonate in light of what we've studied here today. And to realize that that's what Jesus did. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And yet you highly exalted him. And so, Father, any sacrifice, any surrender, any self-denial that may be required of us here and now in this life is nothing compared to eternity. And so, Father, I pray that we would evaluate our hearts in light of what Jesus did for us as we celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper here. And with heads bowed and eyes closed,